Welcome to episode one of Comics and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm the other Chris. But you'll hear me called Lump or Lumpy for most of the time.
This is the review show that reviews comics chronologically, kind of. All right, so what we're doing is we're reviewing Detective Comics and Batman kind of chronologically, but probably not really. We'll see how it goes. We're starting with the Detective Comics issue number one, though, but just to see where everything started, and we'll go from there. All right, take it away, guys.
Brand new, action-packed stories in color. That was a lie, right on the cover, because half the stories are not in color.
I like. If you want to talk about this cover...
Ten cents
is a big deal. Well, this cover, just to start with, it made me nervous as soon as I saw the cover. It's kind of a stereotypical Chinese man on the front cover, just so you know.
And I barely got Chinese, except for the mustache.
Right. And the over-exaggerated slanty eyes is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. So this issue came out in March 1937, and obviously Detective Comics started around that time. And created by Major Malcolm Wheeler Nicholson. I don't really know. There's a big history behind him, but we're not here for that. We're here to cover the comics. So, jumping right in, who wants to talk about the ads?
Well, before we get to the ads, can I just ask a question? Sure. Why is the first cover purple? His face is purple. And then if you go to the next cover, they made him, I hate to say yellow, but they made him a lot more yellow.
I think they're showing two... On the scans that we're looking at, the first couple covers seems to be like faded. You know what I'm saying?
Messed up. You can see he must have opened the cover of the copy machine or something, and that's why he rescanned it the second time.
That's why the second one, or the first scan is from the original, and that's from the second cover is from like a trade or something.
That's probably true,
or a re-release or something like that.
Yeah.
So. Detective Comics opens, it's an anthology book, it's 64 pages, and it opens up with two pages of ads, so...
The ads are awesome, by the way. The ads are really awesome. I see one on there that's 25 cents to learn how to tap dance.
The ads are actually the best thing about this comic.
I found it funny that the first ad on here is like a microphone for like talking into and recording yourself.
Play through your own radio.
So it's like a podcast.
I wonder if they were doing podcasts. You think they were doing podcasts?
No, I think they were talking, singing, and playing. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think so, too. You think they did that weird radio voice? I wish I could do impersonations, because I like that weird radio voice always made me laugh.
So, when I saw these ads for the first time, I'm still curious. I wonder if you guys can tell me. What's a sex indicator?
I wanted to know the same thing. It's just...
Now, the words are blurry, but my guess is a pregnant woman. Like, you can indicate the sex of a baby. Right?
So the price of the sex indicator is the same price as this comic. So I'm curious on what this thing actually does. Only 10 cents. So it's actually the cheapest thing in the ads is the sex indicator. So what could it do?
If you think about it, I mean, it makes sense that what is the things called where they can see the sex of a baby these days? What are they called?
Ultrasound.
Well, it's an ultrasound now.
No. Where they pee on a stick and it's blue or not.
Well, that doesn't tell you the sex.
Well, you know what I mean. One of those things.
It just tells you if you're pregnant or not. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
One of those things. I think it's like disposable like that. That's why it's so cheap.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
possibly.
It must be. I can't even tell what the picture is.
The picture looks odd, but that's what makes me think it's something hanging over like a person, right? It's an odd picture.
Yeah. Well, the chameleon below it is 25 cents.
Can I tell you?
It's more expensive to buy a chameleon.
It's more than a sex indicator. Now, my question is, if you look at this picture, when I was a kid, they sold these. They're green annals. It's not even a real chameleon. They don't change colors. They change green and brown, and that is it. But are they shipping these kids live green annals through the mail?
I have no idea. I would like to know.
You know what's even curiouser? Back then, they didn't have what we have, so did it take 2 weeks, 3 weeks to do it?
Well, I know I've seen articles where they used to send children through the mail back, you know, in when the post office first started. So,
well, I'm just curious if kids are opening boxes and having dead chameleons in them.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all I was curious about.
Because they would ship them in a little like in an envelope, and if it got crushed on its way there, it was kind of just what it is. You know?
What I find, there's no guarantee.
What's funnier about the ads is you have all these crazy things in the first one, and the second row of it's just guns.
Yeah, guns.
Yes, I love it.
Blank cartridges.
Blank cartridge pistol.
High-powered air pistols.
And a P-O-Matic. A P-Matic. I guess they
My guess with the P-Matic is it's a like a pea shoot. Like it shoots hard peas like it would use for pea soup.
Well, it says it's a repeater. It's 12 shots. It's harmless and accurate.
And accurate. Wow.
It says harmless, accurate. That is the, again, it's 25 cents for this gun.
There's a steam engine right underneath of it that's 25 cents. So 25 cents is a lot of money.
Now the women who are doing jiu-jitsu, it says don't be bullied. Now that's a 30-cent lesson there.
Oh my God, it's
it's cheaper to do tap dancing.
Correct. It would be cheaper for them to buy a gun.
Yes, buy yourself a high-powered air pistol. And don't go to the jiu-jitsu lessons.
Yeah. Stop wasting your time with jiu-jitsu. We'll just shoot his eye out. He'll shoot his eye out. That's all.
I do like, my favorite is the whoopee cushion ad. I think that's my favorite.
I mean, a whoopee cushion is classic, though, right?
Yes.
Where is the whoopee cushion?
Maybe not in 1939 or whatever this was. March 1937. Maybe whoopee cushions were new.
Next to the rock. Where do we see a whoopee cushion? Good luck ring.
Oh, underneath of that, I see it. That's a good. That's pretty good art too. The guy's like all embarrassed, sitting on a whoopee cushion.
It's actually better than most of the drawings in the comic. It's actually,
this is true. Magic flute.
Moving down to the next page of ads. Now they're not as exciting on this page. You got electric trains, whatever a weather rose is.
35 cents for electric train.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently.
So.
Oh my God! What is a mystery movie pig?
What? That is awesome.
Third one down.
I missed that one.
I want a mystery movie pig. That's what I want.
I'm going to have to get one. I'm going to have to find one so I can buy one. I like the sweater emblems. Like, are those patches or something that they mail you to put on your sweaters?
Yeah, I guess it's a patch. Why is there a skull and crossbones on it?
Yes.
I don't know. It says embossed underneath of it, though, so it looks like you have to do it yourself.
Very interesting.
What is...
So the midget racer was really cool to me, because that is actually a tractor that he's riding on in the picture. So yeah, I'm like,
this looks like a John Deere, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm like, this is a Ford 2N tractor that he's riding on. What makes it a midget racer? I'm confused about
that. Well, listen, they're not selling him a midget racer. They're selling him plans for a midget racer.
And that's why
it says make your bicycle into a motorbike. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool too. I see that.
It says learn to vamp down here. What is vamp?
Looks like two hands on a keyboard.
Yeah, it must have something to do with that. But then it says snappy jokes, or is that a separate ad?
That's a separate ad.
I don't see that. Oh, it's on
that's dad jokes.
Ad, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have
got plenty of those.
Those jokes are horse walks into the bar and the bartender says, why the long face? That's what that is.
Did you
nothing?
Did,
not even a laugh? I didn't even get a giggle out of that one.
We stopped listening to you, actually.
Yeah, a little bit. Did you know it's 10 cents to learn how to do ventriloquists?
Yeah, boys, throw your voice.
Yeah.
The wonderful ventrilo.
I don't
know. Famous ventrilo. X-ray. I like the surprise soap. That's actually a big thing nowadays. You can buy all these like candles and soaps that have like stuff in them. So when you use them,
right?
And
right.
In 1937, they were doing the same thing.
They're doing the same exact thing.
Same exact thing.
All right. Are we done with the ads?
The ads are done.
All right. Well, then we're moving on to Speed Saunders and the River Patrol. It is, hold on here, 6 pages, and it's uncredited. It's about a River Patrol cop, I guess? I don't know.
It's about a vigilante. He's not even a cop. He works with the cops, listen, I guess. And
the guy gets a phone call. He gets a phone call and takes a taxi to where he's got to go. Yes. That's what he does.
Well, apparently Chinamen are being found dead in the water, and he needs to figure out why. I don't know why he's doing this, or... if he's even allowed to do this.
Well, but, and in the end...
Wait, is he getting paid for it? Anything. We don't know.
In the end, what was that lump?
in the end, you don't even find out anyway. He goes there, he beats people up, and then that's the end.
No, they explained it. They explained it in the last panel.
Yeah. They just said there's somebody they were transporting.
They're smuggling Chinamen and throwing the sick in the sea. What? Don't you understand about
that?
Yeah,
the dead bodies in
the sea.
Well, but
then they...
Listen.
But their only punishment was they got beat up by Speed Saunders. No one gets arrested. Nobody actually does anything.
My question was, why do so many sailors in comic books look like Popeye the Sailor Man? That's what I want to know. There's a guy with a pipe and a red shirt and a sailor hat.
When did Popeye come out?
That would be a good question.
Sure.
Maybe this is before Popeye.
Because the guy in the yellow shirt kind of looks like the Popeye's nemesis guy. What's the fat
Bluto
guy?
Bluto or Brutus? Okay, Brutus. Popeye came out in 1929. January 17th, 1929 was the first year Popeye came out.
So yeah, this is probably based on Popeye and his popularity.
Yeah,
yeah. The guy had a pipe and everything.
Yeah,
there's one panel here where the guy grabs somebody from behind and it looks like he's giving him a wedgie.
Yeah, when he's got his arms up, is it that one?
He's got his arm locked behind him. Yeah. It looks like he's giving him a wedgie.
He's
but you're right, the one guy looks like Bluto.
Yeah, it's definitely something. When Speed Saunders has his weird hat on, he looks like Gilligan.
Yeah, he kind of does look like Gilligan, too. But I like when they tell him...
This is definitely before they tell Gilligan's him, Island, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
True. Maybe they got Gilligan off. They tell him that his new job is to swim back to shore, and he's like, I needed a bath anyway. It's only 3 miles.
Just 3 miles for Speed Saunders is nothing.
3 miles? He's going to swim back 3 miles? Okay, they do say if he gets paid or not. At the very end, he said he doesn't...
He doesn't get a raise. He needs a vacation.
He doesn't want a raise. He doesn't want a bonus. He just wants a vacation, which is ridiculous.
And it does say that he made them go to port so that the river police are there. But that's about it.
Yeah. So I looked at future Detective Comics, and Speed Saunders is still around in later comics. So this isn't a one and done either.
Wow.
I thought I saw that Speed Saunders was in the newest Detective Comics.
No, he's not. I've read every new Detective Comics, and he's not in them.
What's his name? The very last guy was, definitely, Slam Brady.
Slam?
Oh, yes.
We'll get to Slam Brady.
I know. I didn't want to bring him up too early, but you're right. We'll get to him.
And he's the most important thing of this anyway, so we can move on from Speed Saunders.
But I want to point out that every one of these detectives that we're going to introduce today do come back in the next few issues.
Okay.
With slight variations and stuff.
The only things I wanted to touch on before we left is he mentions real Oriental Chinamen. He said they're real Oriental Chinamen when he pulls them out of the ocean. That's just the start of the racism that starts in this comic book. Just so you know, that's it. That's all I wanted to mention.
In this day and age, isn't Oriental even a racist term?
Yes, it's Asian. It's not Oriental.
I don't know the logistics of the politics on that, so I can't.
I'm pretty sure, but I could be wrong.
I'm almost positive that I've never used the word. Oriental doesn't sound right anyway. I've never used the word, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to use it anymore.
Right.
I also have never used the word Chinaman, and I guess that's something that they called them.
I'm going to say Chinaman is a racist term.
Yes, I'm going to agree with that. I'll agree with that. All right.
On to Cosmo, the Phantom of the Skies, illustrated by Sven Elvin. I bring up who's writing and creating, because some of these stories are uncredited, and I don't know why. And I couldn't find anything on the Sven guy, only that he wrote a little bit of stories and drew a few Detective Comics, so he's not really that important, apparently.
Apparently not.
Well, you know what stood out to me right away with this comic book? The man lives alone with his manservant. That happens a lot in older comic books.
Yes.
Why? Why does that happen so much?
I don't know.
It's really strange.
Well, there was a high mortality rate back then for women, especially for childbirth. So
that's a possibility. And then, you know, you're stuck. I mean, it does seem whoever started with these comics must have been wealthy.
Yes, I agree. Because
it's always written from that point of view.
Not really. From what I read, the guy behind this had all kinds, was in the army and got court-martialed and stuff. And he was falling on hard times until he came up with this, and even when he even was forced out before this got popular, Wow. So he wasn't really that rich.
So did he write from that point of view because he really wanted to be wealthy? Is that what it was?
Maybe. But actually, he might not have wrote this. It's not telling you who the writer is. It's
just right.
Who drew it.
Yeah. Illustrated by Sven Elvin.
I don't know who it is. Anyway, Cosmo the Phantom of the Skies is only 6 pages. And as we say, it's this old guy who likes to collect jewels, lives alone with his manservant, and a thief finds out, leaves a note that he's going to steal it, and it's up to Cosmo to stop him.
Now, that's another thing that I noticed from older comic books. Jewels. Jewels are a big deal.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah, always. Yes.
So, actually, it's crazy. I listened to another podcast about, like, true crime, and back in the 30s and 40s, even in a lot of the 50s, the wealthier people would invest most of their money in jewels and gold, which I'm assuming people still do now, but it was way more common back then than to actually have a lot of, like, paper money, and you didn't really have banks the same way we have banks now. Okay. So instead of putting money in a bank, they actually just bought all kinds of jewelry, and that's why they would have all this stuff in their homes.
Actually, this day and age, you're more likely to invest in stocks than you are in something physical like this.
True. Exactly. True. So,
and like, things they say, like pearls, I don't think I've ever had somebody want a pearl in my life.
Dude, I don't even, like, a gold necklace.
Who cares?
They mean nothing to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, but you have to remember, back in 1930, status was everything. So showing off your jewels and everything else was probably how you got ahead.
It was a cool time where, like, nobody went out looking like a bum. Like, you didn't walk into a store and somebody's in there in their pajamas. Like, we walk into Walmart now and you see the guys in there in their pajamas and shit. You went out, you got dressed. You put your suit on. Even if you were a piece, you know, you were a bum or like, you didn't make any money. You had your suit on, you had your shoes clean, you had your hat on. It wasn't like it is today.
Some of us still do that, you know? I don't leave my house without my boots and my jeans and my hat on. Okay, I'm not going to any
places. But they're not clean. They're not clean.
I will give you that. They're not clean.
If I have to put on anything other than sweatpants, then I'm out.
Yeah, see, I can't do that. I will not go outside in sweatpants.
Sweatpants don't bother me. What bothers me is your Scooby-Doo pajamas when you're walking through the damn store. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, I don't. I don't even wear shorts.
Yeah, you're weird.
It's not weird. Look at these people in the 30s. They knew. They didn't go out in shorts.
True. Yeah, if you weren't wearing shorts, you were going to the beach at that point.
Right, yeah. You went to your swimming pool, and then you got dressed. That was
it.
All right, so we have this criminal named Taro who's trying to steal jewels. And then Cosmo stops him in the end by posing as the rich guy.
Dillingwater, which is a really crazy name, by the way.
What?
Dillingwater. The rich guy's name is Dillingwater. His name is Gregory Dillingwater.
Maybe he's Dillingwater, I don't know.
The bad guy's name is Taro?
Taro. T-A-R-O, as far as I know.
Yeah, of course. He's probably a foreigner, because apparently we don't like foreigners in 1937.
This is America.
That's built on foreigners.
This is a real America.
Anything else to say about that one?
I didn't.
Move on.
I was not impressed.
All right. Then we're moving on to Brett Lawton, who is 6 pages long, and there's strange murders happening in the Peruvian jungles.
I was excited to see this one. Yeah.
Why?
It is black and white. Because I kind of like Westerns, and when I saw this, I thought it was like a cowboy guy, but it's not. They're out in the jungle or something.
And it is not.
Yeah, it's South America.
Yeah.
It's not really much going on in this one. They find out about the murders, and he's exploring. He finds a couple dead bodies, and at the end, they show some Inca bad guy, essentially, and then it's to be continued.
Cliffhanger.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And now Inca I really want to know what the little holes.
What?
They said the dead guys were found with small holes in them, but they weren't shot. And now I'm never going to know, because we're not going to cover the next issue.
You could read the issues without us. You
could just skip. I have a Batman mandate now, and that's it. After this, I read no other comics until we're done, until we're on hiatus. So
okay. Anyway, anything to say about Brett Lawton?
I really don't. I mean, it's kind of was exactly what you said. Not really much happened, and they left it on a cliffhanger with this bad guy looming on a mountain, and that was basically it.
Yeah, He's got devil horns. He's got devil horns. It's not drawn terrible, but it's the black and white makes it kind of crappy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of unfinished, really, more to me.
Yeah.
This was definitely just a setup for the actual story. This was the
first part. Yeah, that's true.
So, to be continued on that one. Not by us, though.
No. Maybe way, way, way down the line when we're done Batman. Maybe.
Maybe.
You're never going to be done Batman. They're still writing Batmans.
Yeah, you know there's like 1,000 issues of Detective Comics?
We'll be dead before we finish Batman.
That's it.
All right, so we're moving on to The Claws of the Red Dragon by Major Malcolm Wessler Nelson and Tom Hickey. I couldn't find much on Tom Hickey, but Major Malcolm is, I think he was the owner of DC Comics, it was called something else before DC Comics. I forget what it was called. I don't have the wiki in front of me, but he owns it, so I guess he wrote for it too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, so that's interesting. So we have this guy, his name was Nelson, from what I've seen, this detective. He didn't have a last name or anything, they barely mentioned his name. He goes into this Chinese restaurant. They refuse to serve him Chinese food. They end up in a service period, and then they finally give him like ham and eggs or something like that.
Yeah, they give him ham and eggs.
And then this father and daughter come in. And they serve them Chinese food, so Nelson gets really mad and demands Chinese food, and he won't leave. And then the Chinese people abduct all three of them.
Wait, he demands Chinese food?
Set up there in the beginning,
huh? He does, because they serve the other guys.
When they serve this is the weird part. When they serve the other guys Chinese food, he demands. Where is it? Fruit, nuts, and tea is what he demands.
Right. But yeah,
what the hell?
They do mention that that's just like an appetizer or whatever.
Okay.
And they were serving other things too. So he's demanding to get served what they got served.
Gotcha. Because I even wrote down, guy wants tea, nuts, and fruit for some reason.
Yeah. And
but yeah.
His argument is that he will eat here even if he has to cook it himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even sure if this guy's a detective or anything.
As early on in the story, you don't know nothing. There's nothing.
No. He was just a guy going to a Chinese restaurant and got locked in, and then they gave him ham and eggs. It's weird.
He literally saw a Chinese restaurant and said, "Oh, that looks good. Let me go in there." That was it.
Yeah. And somehow got involved in this where they put a scarf over his head and drag him off.
No, he got involved in it because they wanted him to go, and he was just being, I'm staying until I get service.
What?
That was
he wouldn't leave. That was just, he was kind of being a jerk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's his own fault. He got kidnapped at that point.
It was a 1937 Karen. That's what that was. So, I'm still a bit confused about exactly what goes on. I'm guessing they were trying to abduct these other two people, and then they ended up having to take him, too.
Yes.
Because he wouldn't leave, but I was fruit nuts. Because
this is another to be continued.
Now, I'm back to
this. Hold on. Before you go on, this is another to be continued, and this is 13 pages long. This is one of two stories that is 13 pages. This is one of the longest ones in here. And I think it's because the owner wrote it.
Yeah, the pictures are bigger. He's
spotlighting.
And nothing happens in it at all. Just to be continued.
No, they're sitting at table ordering food for like 14 pages.
Yep, and then that's it. There's nothing. They kidnap them, and that's the end.
Right. I know I'm stuck on this, but he asked for tea, nuts, and fruit, right? The guy who owns the restaurant says, "Velly sorry, V-E-L-L-Y, sorry. No tea, no nuts, no fruit." That's what he tells him. Velly sorry.
I think there was an instance like that in Speed Saunders, too, where like they had a Welsh guy, and he was talking all weird in the beginning. Like,
yeah,
like,
that's right, there was.
They spelled stuff really weird in Speed Saunders. Too. Yeah. It was that one that was...
It's trying to get the accent across, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every Chinese person we've seen so
far...
Every Chinese person we've seen so far has this giant, weird mustache.
It's a Fu Manchu.
Yes. But I mean, not every Chinese person has a Fu Manchu. Yes. But not every Chinese person has that. But everyone in this comic does so far.
Well, that's because...
You don't know what they looked like in the 30s.
And plus,
true, I wasn't there. True.
You don't know. Maybe every Chinese person did have a Fu Manchu.
At least maybe every fictional Chinese person at that time. Anyway, are we done with that one?
Yes.
All right. On to Gus by Bill Patrick. It's only 4 pages long. and it's a comedy, I guess. I don't know who Bill Patrick is. There wasn't much on him either. But all this is that this detective who thinks he's great and narcissistic goes to a party and thinks that this lady's jewels is being stole, and in fact, it was just the police commissioner putting them away. It's supposed to be a comedy.
And he whacks him on the head with a blackjack. Yeah, it wasn't terrible, though. Like,
I was going to say the same thing. It wasn't terrible. This was actually readable. I kind of liked the, like, plain drawing was decent. I didn't hate this one.
Well, my only problem with it is it seems like it should be something in a newspaper and not a comic book.
I agree 100%. It actually looks more like a newspaper comic.
Definitely feels like a comic strip, like maybe Andy Dick or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my only issue with it. I mean, it's kind of humorous, but it's nothing spectacular either, you know?
No, it wasn't. It was good filler.
Yeah, but the problem is the stuff that's not filler wasn't that great so far.
No, it was terrible. Terrible.
All right. Are we done with Gumshoe Gus?
Yes.
All right. We're on the Bart Regan Spy by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster. All right. So this one's actually really interesting. Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster are the creators of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So, and this was released like 8 months before Superman was even out yet. So this is one of their first stories. So just for people who don't know, Siegel created Superman, Superfoy. He created the Spectre. Does anyone know who the Spectre is?
Nope.
Yeah, there's a movie. There's an actual Spectre movie with, I can't remember who it was. George Clooney, maybe? I can't remember who was the Spectre. But I've seen the movie.
Well, in the comics, he's the spirit of vengeance for God. So if you're into that. And he also created Star Spangle and Stripey. If you watched that new Stargirl show, you would know who they are, too.
I haven't watched that yet.
That's all right. I was thinking of the Spirit anyway, not the Spectre.
Yeah. There you go. And he also created a bunch of Legion of Superheroes. You guys know who the Legion of Superheroes are?
Yes.
All right. Uncle Chris, you know who the Legion of Superheroes are?
I'm not positive.
They're heroes from the 30th century. They're future heroes.
Okay.
And so, like, Superman ends up going to the future and joins the team for a little while. It's a pretty popular thing, and he created a few characters. Some of the more popular ones, like Bouncer Boy, Brainiac 5 from Supergirl, do you know who he is?
Yes. Yeah.
He created him, Phantom Boy, and Chameleon Boy, or some of the Phantom Girl and Chameleon Boy, are some of the more popular characters that he created. So, Siegel's actually was pretty tumultuous history with DC Comics, but that's not something we need to get into here. We're not talking about Superman. We're talking about Batman.
Yes. Yes. But he does. I mean, he's a pretty big deal in the comic world.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring him up and say who he created and everything else like that. So, yeah. Anyway, back to Bart Regan Spy. Bart Regan is a cop, I think. Is he a cop?
He's discharged from service as a federal agent. So
there you go. He's discharged, but that's just a cover so they can make him a spy. So he has to cut all ties from his normal life, his girlfriend and stuff, and he goes undercover as a spy, get something from this woman, and while his ex-girlfriend shows up and tries to ruin it.
My problem with this is, he's not a good spy if he can't even hide it from his girlfriend.
Well,
he stinks.
The girlfriend is portrayed as obsessive and not letting go.
Right.
So she's literally following him from place to place.
She's
stalking him for all this time. So I don't know if it's exactly his fault.
I mean, you cut ties and you leave. You make sure she's not following you if you're a spy.
Yeah, but that's not his fault that they deployed him in the same city he lived in.
True. That was a bad plan there. I have a question. After he tries to break up with her and you go to the page 2, what is the firing squad? Why is there a firing squad at the top of that page?
Yeah. All right. 1 second. I forgot to mention that this is a 4-page comic. It's porn. Right. You said page 2, and it's only 4 pages.
So, yeah. And at the top of page 2 is a firing squad. I think it's supposed to be part of his service, like before he was discharged. But it's just a drawing.
There's no reason for it. There's a helicopter going
there's
over,
no contact,
and there's a
right, no.
There's a guy that looks like him with a covering his eyes and a firing squad.
Yeah, I'm reading through it. I'm not seeing any context for it. So
there is none. It's just literally a drawing at
really
the top
weird.
Of the comic.
Maybe it's part of his cover. So maybe they killed off who he was before, and now he's.
So they killed him off, and his girlfriend still followed him. They killed him off, and his girlfriend still found him.
to be fair, that's
this guy's
that's
the worst spy
just
ever.
Supposition on my part.
Right. If you're right, this guy's the worst spy ever.
I mean, yeah. Who knows? It's not a very good comic. I mean, it ends with her not paying the taxi driver, and the taxi driver wrestling her on the ground outside of the apartment. Yeah. So,
and it's to be continued.
And it's to be continued, yeah. I guess it's supposed to be kind of like a comedy spy thriller kind of thing. I don't know. It's a weird mixture of things.
Well, he's about to get poisoned.
It's drawn very serious.
Well, it's all very serious on his end. And then the girlfriend stuff is the side stuff is supposed to be comedy. It's the tones are completely off.
Yeah, it's a strange comic.
All right. We done with that one?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much else to say. They don't tell you nothing else, so...
All right, we'll move on to Eagle Eye Jake. It's 4 pages by Bill Elger. Again, I don't know who Bill Elger is. They only say by Elger on here. I had to look up what his first name was.
Again, this is another one that looks to me more like it should be in a newspaper comic.
I'd like this drawing.
So I enjoy the drawing, and I actually didn't hate this comic, but it's just, to me, it's a little more like...
It doesn't belong in a comic book.
No, I agree.
It's a rap song. If you read it, it's a rap song. It's one of the first rap songs ever made.
Anyway, it's about a guy named Jake who becomes a cop, and everyone's laughing at him for being a cop, but he solves this jewel heist that was not a jewel heist. It was just about a woman who wanted attention. So there's your sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But he learned to be a detective by mail.
Yes, yes. You mail in your stuff.
Yeah, he probably got it out of his comic book.
But it's just a comedy, so right. It's supposed to be ridiculous, I think.
I like this, but I don't think it belongs in a comic book. This, to me, is more like you get a comic strip in the newspaper and you read it once and it's done. That's it.
I mean, to be fair, though, in 1937, comic strips were probably really popular, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It just feels like...
I don't want to crap on this one because I think this might be one of my favorite ones in the comic book.
Well, and I feel the same way. Like, I really liked this one. I just, it's more comic strip style to me.
I'm not complaining about the content itself. It just feels like these guys are auditioning for a newspaper spot. You know what I'm saying?
And this is one of the better ones in this book. If that tells you anything else about this book, this is one of the better ones.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Silly Sleuths, which is one page.
Which is a comic strip. Silly Sleuth is a comic strip.
It's about a detective. It's about a detective who takes his job too seriously. Literally, like he pretends to be a dead body, dresses up like a cat and stuff. It's stupid.
And it's done.
He's getting a tattoo of a badge because he's in a nudist colony.
Yeah. All right. Now we're moving on to Buck Marshall, Range Detective. 6 pages by Homer Fleming. Again, Homer Fleming, couldn't find anything on him. This is about cattle thieves, so take it away, guys.
Again, this is where I got excited. I thought, oh, cowboys, but this one wasn't that great.
It's a shame. It's drawn really well for a black and white comic. It's really... Yeah. The drawings are phenomenal. The story is terrible. There's nothing to really talk
about. It's typical, is the problem. It's an average, typical cowboy story, is what it is, yeah.
And it's really just a, like, kind of... they talk about a daily thing of a cowboy, and that's really it. It's not, I don't know, for me, it just went, but the drawings I thought were incredible. I really liked the drawing of it, but.
Yeah, I mean, he goes under a detective as a, like, one of these cattle guys as a farmhand, and then they're on to him, so they try to frame him for murder and the thieves, but he's like a Sherlock Holmes type kind of guy, which I think was the idea behind him. Sherlock Holmes meets, like, cowboy.
Okay.
And he, like, figures it out by, like, the horseshoe prints and stuff like that. And they all get arrested at the end. Yeah. Again, it's a self-contained story, though. It's not to be continued or anything, so there's that. Has that going for it.
Yeah, it's pretty just cut and dry. It runs through the story, and then they get arrested at the end. And
maybe I only...
There's just not much to it. Maybe, that's the thing.
Maybe I didn't like it that much because I read it right before the next one, and the next one... just took everything else away.
Next one. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Let's get into Slam Brady, because my God. Anyway, before we go any further, Slam Brady was also created by Jerem Siegel and Joe Shuster. The Superman guys.
And you know, it's funny. I know those names.
Just to correct you.
Yeah. I know those names because in the beginning of the Superman cartoon, it said Siegel and Shuster. They always said Siegel and Shuster in the beginning of that.
Well, it's funny because they had the fight for... They didn't get their names on Superman comics until, like, the 70s because of lawsuits and stuff. Because I think they sold the rights for Superman for $100 back then in 1938. And then they lost everything to them. They were both living as paupers up until, like, the early 70s. And then DC gave them a pension just so they wouldn't live in, like, squalor.
Wow.
But anyway, Slam Bradley is actually, when they say was one of the guys that created for him, like if you look, like all these other guys, yeah, they have mentioned, all these other detectives are mentioned, but for some reason, this guy is mentioned all the time in like Wikipedia and stuff like that. Slam Bradley is the first Detective Comics created by Jerem Siegel, Joe Shuster, I guess because that's their big guy before Superman.
Right.
Oh.
And he's kind of drawn like Superman to me.
He's got some muscles and stuff, too. He's a big guy.
Yeah, the shape of him is just like... But yeah. He looks like the typical, like, brawny dude from the 30s. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not in a slender suit or nothing. He's just a big guy.
And thank God, right on this first page, he's beating the crap out of, like, four Chinese guys. Thank God for that.
Yes, yes.
Just and they're bright yellow. They're drawn bright yellow, and they got their stupid ponytails. I can't believe the beginning of this.
The best is how, like, pale-skinned he is, and they are literally yellow.
Listen, don't think it's not on purpose, because they mention yellow skin in this comic book.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
This particular...
I really liked this comic. I actually was just glad that something out of this book was readable to me.
I mean, action, yes. This one did have the action they're claiming.
From a structural point of view, yes, it's the best written one. But it's 13 pages. It's the same length as the the Claw of the Red Dragon one. And it's the spotlight of this comic, you can tell. And the second Detective Comics, Slam Bradley, actually starts off the second issue of Detective Comics. They thought they had something with Slam Bradley.
Yeah.
I like this little sidekick guy that he tried to, like, he didn't want him, but in the end, they're kind of...
The sidekick guy is drawn completely different.
He's drawn like Mr. Magoo. Go ahead, TJ.
Yes. I love it.
He's drawn like Mr. Magoo. His name is Shorty. So... Slam Bradley, I don't know why he's beating up Chinaman in the beginning. Yes. Oh, I guess there was a raid or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so after he beats up Chinaman, he goes to his office, and then this woman approaches him for a job. She wants him to protect his dog. Her dog from something or another. I don't know. And he says no because he's Slam Bradley, and then he makes Shorty do it. And then she gets kidnapped by Chinaman, and then he has to come save the day. And Shorty is a science guy who uses his brain to solve problems, while Bradley is the muscle guy that solves it with his fists.
And really, Shorty's the hero in all of this. I mean, let's be realistic. He's the guy who...
I want to apologize for TJ using the word Chinaman 1,000 times.
Well, he's just using it in context of the story, just so everyone knows.
He's making me uncomfortable. Stop saying it's making me uncomfortable.
In the story, these characters are called Chinamen. That is what they're called. Throughout the whole thing, it is written about 35 times in the comic.
You're right.
Into the 1937 mindset.
Yes.
Yeah,
you gotta forgive us for anything we happens. Yeah, I agree. You have to forgive us.
I mean, God, how else am I supposed to review a comic of the time without getting into the period, you know?
I mean... other than what we just talked about, that's pretty much it for this comic.
You know, there's some action. They're going through things. The Shorty befriends the dog. The woman is portrayed as snobby, and even though her job was rejected, and Slam is a dick about it, he's portrayed as right at the end, and she's wrong just because, you know, she's a woman.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
She makes out with him in the end, but in the very next panel, he says
he He blows her off.
He blows her off and dumps her. Yeah. So. Sam Bradley is ridiculous and stupid, and I hate him.
I kind of like it. It's a really good piece to tell you a bit more about the time.
Oh no,
it really is.
The comic itself is fine. I hate Sam Bradley as a person.
Well,
if I met Sam Bradley in the street, I'd punch him in the face.
But you would. But in the 30s, that's the way these people were. It just
no.
This hey, I hate to tell you this, but Sam Bradley would whoop your ass if you punched him in the face.
Slam Bradley would whoop your ass.
Yeah, you got no chance with Slam Bradley.
It would be worth it.
He'd toss you around like he did with the guy. My favorite is the one comic strip when he's swinging the guy around by his ponytail thing. And it says, who wants the next ride while he swings the Chinaman around by his ponytail?
So, in this comic book, just to accentuate the racism here, he mentions the word chink, and then he calls them yellow rats, and oh, yeah, even the narrator says the word chink.
Yeah, this comic in particular, the racism is really skyrocketing.
Yes.
Just yes.
Like Sam Bradley, though, and the rest of the comics, they don't go that far. The most they use is Chinaman, but man, this right. one.
Yeah, this one's rough.
Well, they are yellow. Like, as you go through the whole thing, everybody else is pink and pale, and they are yellow.
He mentions yellow, too.
He calls them yellow rats on top of everything else. So.
What I don't understand about it, though, is why they're focusing on Chinaman. It was 1937 in the midst of World War II when Germans and
Japanese?
I don't know if the Japanese were involved yet.
Not even yet, right.
Not Japanese. I don't think
they're Chinese.
I don't remember.
I
don't remember the exact date of Pearl Harbor, but...
I know, to bring it back to Batman, there was a Batman serial. I can't remember what year it was that I had watched, and it was right around World War II, and they hated the Japanese, and they mentioned yellow, and he told them, you're yellow just like your skin in the serial. It's very bad, but that was Japanese. I don't understand the hatred of... And that was 1943. 1943 was a Batman serial, which makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know the story behind the Chinese hatred. I don't...
Yeah, but that's my point, though. It would be understandable if they're going after the Japanese. We just got bombed, you know?
But, right, that was in 43. But even then, it wasn't even that yet.
Yeah, I mean, but we were still in war... Actually, I don't know if America got into World War II until the 40s. It might have still been just Europe at that time. Maybe right. they were still playing their isolationist game at that point. So, I don't know. Maybe it was just because they hate China people.
Some of the stuff I'm reading, though, is for whatever reason, our media really portrayed China as horrible in the 30s. Like, to our people. It may have had to do with our economic stuff. You know, probably. Buying products.
Just so you know, the U.S.
I'm guessing.
The U.S. didn't get into World War II till 1941, so I don't understand the problem with anyone right now.
Yeah, you're right. This doesn't really make sense, but this just seemed to pick on Chinese all throughout the comics for no reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Chinese did to them in 1937.
But you know what's funny? I know in later Detective Comics, there's a Chinese superhero. I think his name is Fu Manchu, but he is a superhero. Or not a superhero, you know, a detective or something. So they do have one in the Detective Comics in later issues.
Wow.
So I don't know what the deal is with it.
Really strange.
Yeah. Anyway, that was Slam Bradley. And that's pretty much it. That's the last story in this 64-page thing.
They do give us a little preview of next month. We're going to get some more Slam Bradley, so.
Yes. Yeah, no, I read that story, and it's not good.
He's your good friend. It says it right here. Your good friend, Slam Bradley, will be back in another Fast and Furious action novelette. He's your good friend, just so you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a good friend who womanizes and picks on short people and beats up Chinese. And, so, yeah, he's your friend, all right. Let me tell you. Slam Bradley.
After Slam Bradley, we get a nice another advertisement before the end of the book here.
Yep. 10 cents. I don't understand the 10 cents a day thing.
You rent this noiseless typewriter.
You rent it for 10 cents a day?
10 cents a day.
It's available for only 10 cents a day. Here is your opportunity to get a real Remington. Noiseless portable direct from the factory. I don't know what it is. Are you on paying on time? Oh, here you go. You don't risk a penny. We send you to Remington. Noiseless portable direct from the factory with 10 days free trial. And if you are not satisfied, you can send it back and we pay all shippings. If you like it, you pay 10 cents a day until you pay it off.
Oh, so it's not right, and it's, well, it's rent to own.
Oh, yeah, so I guess you do get to own it when you're done. Yeah. How many you get days?
You get a free typing course and a free carrying case, apparently.
And a carrying case. I'll bet you that thing's heavy as shit. I'll bet you it's like 30 pounds, that freaking stupid typewriter.
It looks heavy just through the the drawing. It looks gigantic and heavy.
Yeah, it's...
We should print out this coupon. We should print out this coupon and send it in and see what happens.
Also send me a new illustrated catalog.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's Detective Comics number one.
Yeah, that's the first one in the books.
Yep. It's really, really, really bad.
It's hard.
Listen, I hate to tell you this, but anybody listening, we're not going to Detective Comics number two next time, just so you know.
No, we're skipping the Batman, because that's what we wanted to do. We were originally going to do the first 26 issues, but one, each comic's 64 pages, and that's a lot. And two, they're not good comics, so no thank you. And it's our podcast, and we'll review what we want to review.
And we don't want to waste anybody else's time, because this is bad.
I went through 64 pages today, and they've been, you know, all over me about it took me 5 hours to read a comic, so I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to your point, it didn't take you 5 hours. It took you 2 days.
I told you I started it yesterday. You're right.
I tried reading it a couple weeks ago, and I continually fell asleep for like the first 3 days I tried reading it. And then finally I had to read it like in the middle of the day because I couldn't stay awake at night reading it.
Period. I mean, I got through it, but I also read comics on a weekly basis. So I read a lot more than you guys do.
Well, see, I read comics every day, but I'm a Marvel guy. You guys are DC guys.
Yeah, but I read everything that DC releases every week. Yeah, I read every Marvel comic or DC comic that's released every week, and some of them are really bad, so I'm used to reading bad comics.
No, see, all the ones I literally read at least a comic every day. At nighttime, I read a comic, and I have not read a bad comic on Marvel. Haven't read one.
You haven't looked hard enough. There's some bad comics.
Well, I'm not going to read those. Why would I go out of my way to read a bad comic? I'm not interested in that.
That's true. This is true. I'm going to read the good ones.
Yeah, that's fair. But my thing is, I jumped on when they rebooted the DC World for the new 52. And I've just read every single comic that they've released since then. So it's like I'm a completionist and I have to.
Yeah, and I'm not doing that.
Or it bothers me that I don't know what's going on. And the Terrifics number 13, it's like I hate that comic, but you know what? I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, I will not read something that I hate. I won't do it. You're lucky I read anything at all. Let's be realistic here. I'm not a reader, so.
Yeah. That's fair.
I will say something, though, about older comics compared to newer comics. Older comics are very wordy. So when I get into the older comics, it's harder for me because there's so much to read.
What was the detective guy?
Which one?
The spy guy. The Bart Regan spy. That one was like reading a novel. There were so many words in
there. Oh, my God. It's like, come on. Your pictures are supposed to show me more. I don't need to read 400 words.
I've learned that if a comic feels like it's only taking you like 3 seconds to read, that's an amazing comic.
It's a good one. Yeah, you're right.
But if it feels like it's taking you an hour to read it, it's just too much in it. You need to cut back on the dialogue.
Well, I hate to tell you, if you say it took me 5 hours to read this one, it felt like all of 5 hours. That's why we're skipping the Batman. Yeah. I hate to tell you that.
and yes, we are done with this one now. That is it.
Yeah, it's terrible. There's really nothing else to talk about it, but I mean, what do you want for 1937? And it's the first issue of Detective Comics. At least they tried, and we got Batman out of it.
It's true.
There were some enjoyable things.
Yeah, the comic strips were nice. They were short, but they were.
It was neat to read it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to go and read it again.
Honestly,
come on, guys. We learned that Chinese people are evil. That's what we learned.
And yellow.
True. I have personally
never seen a yellow Chinese person. That's my.
No, I don't know where that comes from. That is a weird thing.
Never understood that in my life.
No, I feel like they're more pale than I am.
Yeah, not exactly. Yellow.
Weird.
I'm more yellow, I guess, than they are.
There was back in the 30s and 40s and things, they made, like, Indians aren't red. American Indians are not red.
No. No, they are not.
No. I don't know where to get their... They were colorblind or something was going on over there.
No, white is just the purest color, so they have to accentuate it.
Everybody else is, we have to pick it apart. That's what it is.
That's all it is. So, we really only did this for posterity's sake. We're doing a Detective Comics podcast. You can't not do the first one. It's why we really wanted to do it. We were going, like we said earlier, we were going to do all of them, but it's too much. So we're just going to go back to Batman.
Yep.
So
looking
forward. So stay tuned. We're going to hit Batman next episode.
Next episode.
Yes. Thank God.
Detective Comics number 2 will be Batman. We're pre-recording this, so I don't know if you want to, like, we don't have anything set up for you to announce, right, Uncle Chris?
Not yet.
And what do you mean announce?
Like Twitter and stuff like that.
No.
We'll wait and do all that stuff.
We can add that later if we decide to do something before we release.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out we are going to be recording a lot of these in advance.
Yeah. For anyone who likes the sound of my voice and has followed me over, I am also on the Jay and Silent Bob Minute podcast. I'm not sure what movie we're going to be doing when we get to this, but thanks for following me over.
Yeah, there you go. Lump, this is his first podcast, so he doesn't have anything I don't think he wants to promote. Nope.
Nothing.
This is enough.
Nope. And this is just another this is an expansion of my channel of Anime and Us, so this is now it's called Everything and Us, the channel, and this is Comics and Us, so here we are. And anything else to say before we end for the day, guys?
Same bat time, same bat channel.
The first. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Except that's there's no Batman one. This time, but, you know.
So.
You know, Slam Bradley's your friend. Talk to you later.
Yes.
Maybe. Bye. End the recording, Lump. TJ here from Comics and Us, just here to plug our social media and whatnot. We're like a lot of episodes in pre-recorded, and we just got our social media up now, essentially. Like, it's 2 days before I'm about to release the first episode. But we have so many backlog that the earlier episodes don't have all the social media stuff in there, so I have to put it here, editing-wise. So the first thing I want to plug is obviously follow us on Twitter. It's Everything in Us Podcasts on Twitter. It is, the @ is @ every T in us, because somebody already took Everything in Us. So we're stuck with the every T in us. So it is what it is. But yeah, we're on Twitter. You can find all our updates. It's also, that also encapsulates all of my podcasts and one thing. I am doing three podcasts total. The comics ones is obviously what I'm focusing on, because this is where I'm posting the social media thing for the new comic show up. There's also going to be a movie one coming out sooner rather than later. And the Anime and Us show is 130-something, maybe it's 120-something episodes in on there. If you're curious about any of those stuff, you can do that. Also, my co-host Chris is on the comic podcast, has Minute by Minute podcasts. He does the Jay and Silent Bob movies. I think he's currently working on Dogman. All these were already plugged in some of the episodes you're going to hear, but I'm going to replug it here just because that's what this is for. Also, we have an Instagram run by Lumpy. So, it's kind of barren at the moment, but if you're curious about that, you can follow us there at Everything in Us on Instagram. We'll work on that one, but that's that. We don't have a Facebook page because Uncle Chris on Comics and Us, my because there is in charge of that, and he can't figure out how to update the Facebook group, so how to actually implement a Facebook group. So, we're still working out some kinks on that end. But sooner or later, that'll be up. It'll probably be Everything in Us. Or maybe that one will just be a Comics in Us. I'm not sure. Whatever. I'm working on a website, but I don't know how to do that personally. I'm still trying to figure out the kinks in that ones, but if you need to email us for any reason at all, you can do that right now to everythinginuspodcasts with the plural podcast, everythinginuspodcasts@gmail.com at the moment until we can figure out the whole website thing, which I am working on. But for now, that's where you can get a hold of us there. I think that's it. I don't think I have anything else. Oh yeah, I'm also going to be releasing these on YouTube. So normally how it is, I release the Anime and Us podcast on Thursdays and then release the YouTube version on Mondays because they take longer to put together. It's because of I have to put it into video, not just audio. So that'll be coming for the comics podcast. So you can find it on YouTube there at either the Everything in Us YouTube channel, which is going to encapsulate all the podcasts, or I'm going to put a separate one just for the comics one. That's to see the different analytics and stuff like that. All right. Yeah, I think that's finally it. There's a lot of announcement things at the end of this. There's two more giving credits to the artists, the person that did the music, and the person that did the logo after this. So stick around and check, see who they are so you can check them out. Thanks for listening. I don't have an ending. Bye. Hello, TJ here from Everything in Us. I just wanted to do a quick shout out to the people who wrote the opening and outro of the song. It is by Magnus Moon, and the song is called Ecliptic. It's royalty-free music from Tribe of Noise. I didn't have to credit, but I figured they wrote it. They should get some kind of credit for it. Anyway, that's all I wanted to put that. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye. TJ here from Anime and Us again. Sorry, we pre-record a lot of these episodes ahead of time. And as we went on, we got other people helping us. So here's another credit. Lillian Fields is the person who designed our Comics and Us logo. So, yeah, just wanted to give her credit there for that and so forth. Thanks for listening or watching, depending on where you're hearing this. Bye.